holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief. Today, I'm going to be a little preoccupied with what happened in the stock market in Wall Street and in recent days, as a matter of fact. And this is critical information for Technocracy, and I'll explain why in just a second. Some of you know that I've been a market analyst for most of my career. My studies originally were in economics, but my first job, as soon as I got out of college, a long time ago, was as a stock market broker and an analyst, and I worked for many years in that field. I started writing about financial affairs in 1974 and continued for some years. And even though I've been studying technocracy for several years now, the financial world and the economic world have been of keen interest to me for well over 40 years. So when the market takes a swan dive like it has in the last several days and financial markets are disrupted, I take immediate interest. And this does factor into technocracy because technocracy was proposed as an economic system. It's not a political system. It was an economic system. Started back in the early 1930s, and the idea was to replace capitalism and free enterprise. They were certain back during the Great Depression that capitalism was dead. And as soon as it had taken its last breath, these technocrats were ready to swoop in and take over the entire mechanism of society. They thought that they would control all of production, all of consumption, according to their so-called scientific method, which wasn't scientific method at all. It was a pseudo-scientific method. But they thought that they were more qualified to operate society than any other class of human beings in our country. And now this is extended to the world. It's not just America in the crosshairs anymore. It's the entire planet. I've written about this extensively in my books on technocracy, as you know. I've written about this extensively on Technocracy News and Trends. So this should not be a surprise to you that I'm concerned about these things, and I say you should be also. If it were left up to me, I would have called today Black Monday, and I'll tell you why. Never in my career in the financial world have I seen all markets crash at the same time. Usually, it's one or the other. I've seen interest rates go up and down. I've seen the stock market go up and down. I've seen the energy market, namely oil, go up and down. Today, they all crashed at the same time. The Dow Jones was down over 7.7%. It lost 2,013 points, to be exact, today, and that's just in one day's trading. The so-called NASDAQ index was down 7.29%, and the Russell 2000 index was down a whopping 9.37%. Since the recent highs, the Russell 2000, by the way, is officially in a bear market. The distance between its peak and today's low is over 23%. That's the threshold for declaring it to be in a bear market. The Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ alike are all within a fraction of a point in being a bear market themselves. And so we're right on the threshold of being declared across the board as being in a bear market officially. The oil market today was absolutely amazing. It plunged 24% in one single trading session. This is the worst day for oil since 1991. And the aftermath of this is going to see shale oil and fracking companies declare bankruptcy probably within a matter of weeks. Everybody's discussing this, that it's a fait accompli, that they're gone. They cannot survive with a price of oil down around $30 per barrel. Now, just as shockingly, the 10-year Treasury yield, that's 10-year Treasury bill, hit an all-time low today of 0.318%. That's correct, 0.318%. I've never seen such a drop in a single day in treasuries, and I never would have expected that they would have gotten this low ever. But here they are. President Trump, meanwhile, has declared his desire to have interest rates at zero. And the Federal Reserve is not doing anything to prevent it at this point, for sure. My guess is they're going to come up with another rate cut very shortly, and it could be larger than the last one. It could be as much as 0.5% or 0.75% drop in the prime rate. And in the meantime, the Federal Reserve is trying to shore up liquidity as fast as it can, but it can't. It has no tools left to replace the wealth that's being destroyed by the trillions. And literally, we have lost trillions of dollars in market value across the world. Markets in other countries have been just as bad, if not worse, than ours. In Germany, their primary index, the equivalent of the Dow Jones Industrials, lost 7.94% today. The comparable British index lost 7.69%, and others were down as much as 11.7%. This is absolutely stunning. The Asian markets were down as well. The Shanghai index was down 3%. The HSI was down over 4%. And so across the entire spectrum of global markets, everything is pointed straight down. And that includes economic activity. It's been reported in China that many industries are absolutely at a standstill. Steel production, for instance, was down some 90% recently. And other industries are still not back at work. They're trying to force people in China to go back to work, and the people just say, no, we're not going. We're not going to go and get exposed to coronavirus and die. So they're just completely disobeying what the authorities are telling them to do there. And of course, the Chinese response to this is to use more technology to surveil people and force them to do what they want them to do. Well, I can only say good luck to that. So I wrote an article this morning, and I titled it Death to Capitalism, with an exclamation point, by the way. Technocracy cheers as markets crumble. And this is the way I see it today. Stock markets are crumbling. Oil has cratered. Interest rates are decimated. Economic indicators are pointed straight down. What is going on? These are the very barometers and thermometers of capitalism and free enterprise, and they are sounding a death rattle reminiscent of imminent demise. The coronavirus, that is COVID-19, contagion in Wuhan, China, was not admitted by Chinese officials until December 31st, 2019. On January 19th, 2020, that was only 20 days later, less than 3 weeks, without even mentioning the coronavirus outbreak, the new head of the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, addressed the Peterson Institute, which prompted the headline in The Guardian, quote, IMF boss says global economy risks return of Great Depression. That's right, the Great Depression, a return. This new IMF leader, Kristalina Georgieva, is a dyed-in-the-wool technocrat who worships at the altar of the UN Sustainable Development, aka technocracy, and is a vociferous leader in the war to stop global warming. Does she have an inside track on what was about to happen? Was she a co-conspirator with the UN to achieve its stated goal of killing capitalism and free enterprise altogether? While everyone else in the world is eager to blame the coronavirus for today's tsunami of horrific economic and market news, I suggest they take a deeper look. When you see the big picture, you can more likely predict what is about to happen next. Well, in 2018, over 2 years ago, I wrote, technocrats are licking their chops as politicians drive society into failure and chaos because they will ultimately wind up controlling everything in the end, scientifically, of course. A great moral hazard exists in that the Humpty Dumpty of economy and politics is at risk to be given a little push off the wall, close quote. Well, Humpty Dumpty wasn't just nudged. He was drop-kicked off the wall. Ever since 1932, technocracy has wished for the death of capitalism and free enterprise. It would be technocrats who would then save the day by taking over all means of production and consumption and return order to chaos, for instance, Ordo Ab Chow. Given the modern influence of technocrats and sustainable development, this writer has repeatedly warned of the huge moral hazard that exists to kick capitalism into a casket and drive a stake through his heart. In 2015, I wrote an article titled The Untimely Demise of Capitalism, and it is worth presenting here again. So I quote from this article now. Christiana Figueres, Executive Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, recently revealed the UN's true purpose in the implementing of sustainable development on a global scale. She says this, quote, "This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution," close quote. She amplified by adding, quote, "This is probably the most difficult task we've ever given ourselves, which is to intentionally transform the economic development model for the first time in human history," close quote. Well, two questions immediately come to mind. First, does the UN actually have the wherewithal to displace capitalism? And second, what does it mean for us if they do so? The first question will assuredly be answered on September 25th at the upcoming UN Summit for the Adoption of Post-2015 Development Agenda. This is the most important general meeting of the UN since the 1992 Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro, where sustainable development and Agenda 21 and the agenda for the 21st century, that is Agenda 21, were both given birth in the first place. The purpose of the current meeting is to herd all nations on Earth, including the United States, into signing a politically binding document called the 2030 Agenda, which lists 17 sustainable development goals and 169 targets by which to achieve them by 2030. The answer to the second question is now in view. What goals and targets do they have in mind? For sugarcoating, 2030 Agenda goals include promises of utopia, such as end poverty and hunger in all their forms and dimensions, ensure that all human beings can enjoy prosperous and fulfilling lives, and to provide lifelong learning opportunities for all. However, the devil's teeth are found in the fine print. Paragraph 28 of the 2030 Agenda states this, quote, "We commit to making fundamental changes in the way that our societies produce and consume goods and services." That's right, fundamental changes. Governments, international organizations, the business sector, and other state actors and individuals must contribute to changing unsustainable consumption and production patterns to move towards more sustainable patterns of consumption and production. Close quote. Production, consumption, these are the very cornerstones of capitalism and free enterprise upon which all principles of supply and demand are predicated, whereas a free market currently determines what is made and what is consumed, the 2030 Agenda intends to overthrow this in favor of a resource-based economic system where experts will simply set production and consumption quotas according to their own formulas and computer algorithms. And what experts, you ask? They will be the unelected, unaccountable, and otherwise untouchable social engineers who claim to know better than you what your life should look like. You will be forced to consume less and sacrifice more. Your ability to engage in commerce, to make profits, and to create inheritance will be at their whim, not yours. Goods and services will be priced according to resources used instead of supply and demand. Figueres is absolutely right that replacing free markets will be, quote, the first time in human history, close quote. Although current practices of sustainable development around the world have caused many more economic dislocations than successes, the UN simply responds that we need more of it before utopia is realized. As a resource-based economic system, the only historical precedent for sustainable development is a well-defined economic model called technocracy, created during the 1930s when the Great Depression was raging. Back then, prominent scientists, engineers, and technicians supposed that capitalism was dead, and it was therefore up to them to run all of society as a social engineering project. Fortunately, the technocrats failed to gain traction, and the movement faded into obscurity. But now it's back with a vengeance under the clever guise of sustainable development. Early technocracy did not go unnoticed, however. Aldous Huxley nailed it in his classic book, Brave New World, which was penned in 1932 at the peak of the technocracy movement in the United States. Indeed, the end result of technocracy was seen to be scientific dictatorship, where every detail of life is micromanaged by an unseen hand driven by uncontestable policies and regulations. If the upcoming 2030 agenda meeting is successful in conning world leaders into signing on to it, the euphemism Brave New World will be taken to a whole new level as it becomes reality. RIP, capitalism and free enterprise, I wrote. This is not the future that America wants, but it is the future that we are about to get. That's the end of the article. I continue in the current article. Regardless of how we got to this point in March 2020, you could be certain that technocrats will come out of the woodwork en masse to offer solutions to fix everything and restore order to society. Nobody will protest that these are the same people who got us into this mess in the first place. And they did. It was them that got us to this point where everything is just simply coming apart. This is exactly what happened in a relatively minor way in the 2011 aftermath of the 2008 financial meltdown. On November 15, 2015, I wrote this, quote, "Consider that when Greece was melting down in 2011, the European Union summarily dispatched Trilateral Commissioner Lucas Papademos to take the role of Prime Minister. At the same time, Italy was headed for economic chaos, which prompted the EU to unilaterally send in Trilateral Commissioner Mario Monti to assume the position of Prime Minister. No elections. The European press called these men technocrats as they were installed as quasi-dictators and two of the world's most historic bastions of elected representation. In other words, these were the birthplaces of democracy in the modern world. And yes, yes, the Trilateral Commission, they're back. The self-proclaimed sharpest knives in the drawer. The ones who revived technocracy in 1973 and labeled it as their, quote, new international economic order, close quote. The same ones who then fed the whole agenda to the United Nations as sustainable development and then drove the world into it by using the fear-mongering of global warming. There's going to be more to this story in the near future, my friends. In the meantime, be assured that as far as technocrats are concerned, technocracy is just a hair's breadth away from finally taking over capitalism and free enterprise, and they will be dancing on their graves. And that's the end of the article that I wrote today. Mark my words that the predictions that I made in both of my books, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order, are about to be fulfilled. This was not my prognostication that came up with this stuff, by the way. It was simply a matter of research that I did and taking what they said literally and simply reporting on it. This is what they said they were going to do. And here we are. They're on the verge of doing it. Now, I think it's time America should wake up and smell the coffee. My two books are available at the bottom of this article. I encourage everybody to read this. Even those hardcore people that say, well, I don't read books. I don't need to read books. I know everything already. Okay, so you know a lot. You still need to read my books on technocracy. Technocracy is the clear and present danger of society in America as well as around the world. And if you don't believe it, that's okay, but that doesn't mean it ain't going to roll over you like a steamroller anyway. It's coming. They believe it's coming. And I'm sure that they're just licking their chops, to get at this project now. In their mind, their day has finally come. Capitalism is on the way out. That means they are on the way in. Beware, my friends, of technocrats, and beware of technocracy. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next week.